When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in, Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning to think about what day it is. Without further ado, let's bring in Moak Hamilton. Moak, you're in Vegas, right?
I'm actually in San Francisco. I'm in Napa. It's my wife's I almost told you the number. It's actually my wife's birthday. So we're out of town on a little bit of an excursion, in the shadows of the Staples Center.
Wow. So a few things. Number one, huge. Please tell her thank you that we get this time with you while you're out there celebrating her and her year around the sun. Number two, it's my birthday tomorrow, so she's a Taurus.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of April birthdays, man, in our family. Like it's crazy. But I seem to have a thing for the Tauruses, you know, and I did recall that, Anita, and you know, you were gonna get one of them birthday Texases tomorrow as well.
Well, it's great to have you on. Let's dive right into it. This is a Knicks team right now, 2-1 in the series, Game 4 later on this afternoon. But this is a Knicks team that reports are more than likely they're going to have to play without Mitch Robinson because of the flagrant air quotes foul from Joel Embiid. Your thoughts on how that whole situation transpired last game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sad because for what Joel Embiid is going through and the way that he's competing with the medical issues that he's dealing with, you know, that really is what should be the story, I think, you know. And, you know, for him to drop 50 and to lead his Sixers to what was a win in a must-win game, it really should be the top story, you know, because it was just really tremendous. But, you know, I think that in some instances, like I recall Dirk Nowitzki as well, you know, there are some superstars that sort of emotionally unravel in the playoffs sometime, and they end up doing things that are a little untoward, and you know, sometimes they, you know, make some dirty plays, or they'll, you know, show up some of their teammates and stuff like that. And I think Embiid's emotions just got the best of him. You know, I think that he went into Game 3 knowing that everything that the Sixers have worked for this season, his personal legacy, and you know, any opportunity that they would have to accomplish something greatly, you know, I think that he saw all of that sort of flashing before his very eyes, and I think that emotionally he just allowed himself to get a bit unstable, and you know, ended up committing a couple of plays that really were atrocities, you know, and it's just unfortunate that Mitchell Robinson is the one that is victimized by it. We knew that Mitchell was not 100% coming in. And I think the worst part of it for Knicks fans is Mitchell Robinson was remarkably effective in guarding Joel Embiid, you know what I mean, and in slowing him down. And without him, if he's unable to go, it doesn't really seem like they're going to have much of a chance to stop Embiid on a personal level. So all of that is bad, you know what I mean? Like, all of that is very unfortunate if you're the Knicks or if you're a Knicks fan. That said, you know, they probably do still have enough to compete with this team. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see them still find a way to win the series. But I do think that whichever team wins Game 4 will probably be the one to ultimately prevail here.
So a few things that I think specifically about this matchup. Number one is rebounding. Game 1, the Knicks, 60% of the rebounds. Game 2, 50% of the rebounds. But then in game three, only 32% of the rebounds. So rebounding is going to be key. I like Hartenstein. I think Hartenstein's going to have a really, really good game, especially if no Mitch Robinson. I think a lot of this is going to come down on Hartenstein today. Agree or disagree?
I think I would agree. I think I would agree for the most part, but I guess I half agree, half disagree. So obviously, defensively, you're going to need him to slow Embiid down, and that's not something that anybody has really been very effective at doing. The thing I will say, Anita, you know, especially if you think back to game one and game two, but certainly game one, right? One of the good things, one of the positives about this Knicks team is that they have a good four or five different guys on that roster that are capable of getting hot and giving you a very, very efficient, you know, 15, 18, maybe even 20 points. You know what I mean? If Bogdanovich has a good night shooting it, you know, if Miles McBride gets it going early, you know, if either one of those guys, you know, you kind of assume that Josh Hart is going to continue to play plus basketball. If DiVincenzo, you know, like during the course of the regular season and certainly in the final few weeks, you know, this guy showed us that he's capable of getting hot and giving you 30 points. You know what I mean? So if one of those three guys are able to do that, and if two of them are able to do that, you know, if McBride and DiVincenzo have a good night, both of them give you some efficient shot making and point making, then I think you probably could survive a less than stellar offensive effort from Hartenstein, you know? That said, you probably do need your starting center to do something to at least countermatch Embiid to an extent. But that is what I do like about this Knicks team, and that is one thing that makes them difficult to stop and to game plan for, because we've seen in this very series that even on a night when Jalen Brunson is making 30% of his shots, those other guys are capable of picking him up and lifting him up and helping carry the team to victory anyway. So I think it's more of a strength in numbers thing. Hartenstein, I think, will definitely probably be the X factor, but I'm looking at, you know, maybe those other three or four guys and saying, hey, these guys need to show up as well if the Knicks are going to have an opportunity to win game four.
You know, a difference maker in regard to game three, Mo Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, was the difference of the foul line. The Knicks had a free throw rate of only 14.6, while the 76ers 37.8. Because of how everything went down with Embiid and the flagrant foul on Mitch Robinson, how different do you think that this game is going to be officiated compared to game three, Moke?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty different. I think it's going to be pretty different. And it's unfortunate, right? Because, I mean, I think it may have been Darvin Ham that said it after one of the Lakers' losses. And he's like, you know, it really is a disservice to the players and to the league for us to spend the entire season playing the game a certain way and being officiated a certain way. All of a sudden now you come into the postseason and things are different. And I think that we really have seen that across the league this postseason. And it's unfortunate. And we really shouldn't be sitting here having conversations discussing how differently one game to another in a playoff series is going to be officiated. But the unfortunate truth is that's just the way that it is. You know, the referees recognize that they're human. The NBA recognizes that the officials are human. And even if it's subconscious, the complaints and the missed calls and those kind of things, they do tend to carry over from one game to the next. So I think that there probably will be a quicker whistle on Embiid. But I think the real challenge, at least early, but one of the things that I do notice in it, and I have noticed in this series, is some of the times when, you know, when that star player gets two quick fouls in the first quarter, it's almost like he has to commit an assault on the court to be whistled for that third foul prematurely. You know what I mean? So to me, that's the thing that I would really be interested in seeing is, you know, how tightly and how consistently are the officials watching and calling the game, particularly against the star players. That said, I would be shocked if the free throw discrepancy is not evened out in game four. You know, like, I think that that is something that the Knicks rightfully raised, both publicly and privately, with the league, and, you know, through the proper channels with the officials. And historically, the NBA's officials have responded to that kind of thing, because at the end of the day, they do not want to give teams a reason to say, hey, we lost this series because the officiating was one-sided. So I think we'll see a closely officiated game, and I'd be really surprised if that free throw disparity is not, you know, squashed completely, or at a minimum, somewhat consistent and somewhat even across the two teams.
Last question for you in regards to the Knicks. Jalen Brunson, 8-for-9 in game two, you know, obviously found his mojo again in game three, but has not been the Jalen Brunson that we saw the last few games of the regular season heading into the postseason. What are you anticipating from him today?
You know, I think to his credit, and it is something that the team needs from him, is even in game one and game two when he was struggling, he still remained aggressive. And part of the reason why he ended up shooting such a poor percentage from the field, I mean, I thought that he was pressing a bit. But for the most part, you know, I think that he plays the same style of basketball, you know, like, not the most athletic guy, but he's very good. His footwork is magnificent. He's able to use screens well. He's really good at, you know, kind of dancing around his defender and getting guys on his hip. And if he has a channel at the basket and if he has a good look at it, he's going to take a shot. You know, and I think that that is the way that he's played, and that's the way that he'll continue to play. I think the biggest challenge for Brunson is going to be when he gets in below free throw line situations, and, you know, Embiid is there or Paul Reed is there, and he has to decide whether to pass or shoot. I think that he should probably take it upon himself a bit more to challenge Joel Embiid. And the reason why is because, you know, we know that Embiid, as great as he's played, that knee's not 100%. And the most effective strategy that you can deploy against a big man who's operating on one bad wheel is to challenge him, make him move, you know, force him to block your shot, throw a lob or two to one or two of your guys that can get it, and make Joel Embiid go up there and defend it, you know. And I think that's probably the biggest adjustment that Brunson himself is going to have to make in game four, because he's going to be the one with the ball. He's going to be the one orchestrating the action. Don't show Embiid as much respect as you've shown him in the first three games of this series. If he ends up with, you know, seven block shots, then so be it. Make him work for it. You know, I think that's the biggest adjustment, getting below free throw line. And once you do, don't just automatically defer to the defensive expertise of Embiid. Make him work. Make him move around. Because even if you lose game four, there's still three more games, right? You want to keep the pressure on him. And I think that Brunson and Thibodeau, I think that they'll understand that, and I think they'll carry that into game four with them.
Before we let you go, some other NBA games on the slate today. The Clippers going up against the Mavs. Dallas leads the series 2-1. I do like Dallas here. I'm going to lay the points with Dallas -6. The Clippers, 23rd ranked defense in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard, health-wise, just has not been great. So I like Dallas here, not only in this game, but I like Dallas to win the series. What say you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, I think Dallas has, you know, the acquisitions of, you know, Gafford and, you know, the other moves that, you know, PJ Washington that the Mavericks made around the deadline, you know, they managed to put some great talent on that team. You know, these guys have looked incredible. And I'll tell you, Anita, I was actually talking to one of my buddies the other day, and I said that I think Jamal Murray is the best Robin in all of basketball, certainly in the postseason. And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, if I could have Jamal Murray or Kyrie Irving, which one of those guys would I rather in a seven-game playoff series? And it actually was a difficult decision, you know? So I will say that Dallas also has that going for them. You know, Luka Doncic has shown us that he can be just as dominant as Nikola Jokic. And then, you know, you have Kyrie Irving there to help him out if and when the need arises. And I think that's a great situation for the Mavericks to be. So for that reason, I like them in the series almost as much as I like you and Amani in the pickle game match. But I wasn't going to bring it up. Listen, you need to bring this home. Okay? You need to bring it home, Anita. And I know you will. I know you're doing your two-a-days. I know you're practicing. I'm going to be there with you in spirit, okay? Make sure you guys bring this home.
I love it. The Bucks going up against the Pacers later on tonight. Indiana leaves this series 2-1. 9.5 points, a little bit too much to lay in this game, but I do like the Pacers winning this series. The Bucks just, you know, they limped to the finish line and not a great team on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. And then aside from that, you know, I mean, without Giannis, presumably, and without Damian Lillard, presumably, both of those guys hampered with injuries. You know, I actually liked the Pacers even with a healthy Giannis. I think the Pacers are a team rising in the conference. I think the way that they play, their pace of play, how quick they are. Like, I think when you have someone like Tyrese Halliburton leading that team, and then, you know, I think Pascal Siakam has obviously, you know, he's just been fantastic for them. He's been such a great fit. But they just have all of the things that you need to be successful, at least in the early goings of the playoff team. So I like them even with the Bucks 100% healthy. So now, knowing that they're not 100% healthy, you know, I don't really see a way that Milwaukee, you know, gets out of this series beating them four times before Indiana beats them. I kind of can't see that.
And last but not least, the Minnesota Timberwolves going up against the Suns. I do like the T-Wolves here. I'll lay the 1.5. The Suns team just don't look good. I don't like, you know, lack of physicality. KD's not playing great defense.
The Brooms, huh?
I think
yeah,
so. I think the Brooms are out. I like the T-Wolves.
Yeah. Well, listen, all I can say, I mean, what do I think? I think I'm going to lean Phoenix. Game four, you know, I think that you'll probably see a last stand similar to what the Lakers managed to pull off against the Nuggets last night. You know, getting swept is just, you know, that's not something that any star player wants in their resume. And I think that, you know, I think that Phoenix will find a way. You know, I think they will find a way. That said, you know, Anthony Edwards, I think at this point, he's kind of proven that he is the heir to the throne. I don't know if you think that, you know, Giannis or, you know, Steph Curry or LeBron is the one currently sitting on it. Maybe Jokic is the one sitting on it in, you know, people's opinions. But whoever's sitting on it right now, they need to be watching their back, because Anthony Edwards, I think, in relatively short order has proven that he is the real deal. He is coming for it. And for him, sweeping the Suns, leading his team to a sweep of the Suns, that would send a message like no other. So I think it'll be a good matchup either way, but I think I'll give the benefit of the doubt to Phoenix. I think they'll find a way to take one game just to save themselves that embarrassment, but wouldn't be shocked. And I guess Vegas wouldn't be shocked either to see Minnesota actually come away with it and pull out the brooms. So very interested in seeing how that one goes down today.
Mo Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, taking time away from his lovely and beautiful wife's birthday to join us from San Francisco. You rock, Mo. Thank you so much. Enjoy the games later on today.
All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. Mo Hamilton, make sure you follow him on all things social media and follow his NBA coverage. Quick break. We come back. We'll go to the phone lines. Bobby wants to talk about the Giants as well as Dave. And Anthony wants to talk about the Knicks. He feels that Joel Embiid should have been ejected. We'll dive into these calls when we return right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Sunday fun day here on 98.7 ESPN. We still have Rich Cimini joining us. We'll get a recap of what the Jets did in the draft. Also, Mark Gideon is going to join us, NFL scout, creator of the red, blue, purple system, to get his thoughts on the Giants and Jets and just big picture in general. Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, welcome in. I know you want to mention, you want to talk about this Giants draft.
Yes, Anita, how are you? And I hope you have a wonderful birthday tomorrow and good luck in the pickleball tournament.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I'm a Jets fan. We've discussed this. I root for the Jets since, you know, the 60s. And I'm a casual Giants fan, too. A lot of Giants fan friends. And, I was in the military, so I root for all the New York teams at one point. And I have a passion for the Giants. I don't understand why everybody, all these Giant fans are so down on Daniel Jones. This kid has, in my opinion, when I watch the Giants play, nobody plays harder than Daniel Jones when he's out there. And he's had a lot of tough breaks, balls getting tipped off the hands and intercepted, and he hasn't been protected as much as Eli Manning wasn't protected. The Giants have done a very bad job of protecting the quarterback for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And the Jets are the same. I mean, basically, the two New York teams, they don't protect the quarterback. It's insane. And for your friend there in studio to say he wouldn't take Trevor Lawrence, or he wouldn't take Dak Prescott, he wouldn't take this one, that one, the other one. Are you kidding me? I didn't want the quarterback for the Jets. I didn't want him coming over from Green Bay. I think he was just too old, and I was looking for a younger quarterback. But I would love to have Daniel Jones on my team. And I think he's a hard player. He's had some tough breaks with injuries. But I still think he's a decent quarterback. And any quarterback, any one of these guys in the NFL, if they're in the right system, with the right personnel, with the right coaching, can be successful. There is no way, oh, this guy can't be successful. That guy can. Come on, let's stop it. These guys can, they could knock a fly off a horse's butt at 50 yards with the ball. Any one of them. You know what I mean? They're professional quarterbacks. But if they're in the right system with the right people. And I watching the Jets, New England, I watched New England beat the Jets for many, many years. And this is going to come full circle. It's going to go to the Knicks. You know, the way New England was coached, you would see them hitting people after the whistle, dogpiling people, you know, getting on to the key players. You have one name I want to mention on Philadelphia is Kyle Lowry. You watch that kid. He was on the Heat last year, and he did a dogged job on Brunson, and he was coached by Spoelstra, and I think he's coaching the 76ers on the floor. This kid, I want to say he's a dirty player. He's a tough son of a gun. They were all over Brunson last year, and they destroyed their chances last year. The Knicks could have been in the final last year, but the way they played Brunson. And Deuce McBride has to be on the floor because he's the best point defense that they got against Quickley, and he can get his points, and it'll get some pressure off of Brunson. But Joel Embiid, they need Ananobi to guard him up high so he can't shoot those threes. He's the best long defender they have. And somebody's got to pick up the weak side when Embiid decides to put the ball on the floor, if he will. You know, he's injured, but Kyle Lowry, that's the guy you got to watch. He's under my skin, that guy.
Bobby, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Talking Giants, Jets, as well as your Knicks in action later on this afternoon, 1 o'clock, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Anthony and Dave, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. We get back. Rich Cimini is going to join us as well. Let's recap what the Jets were able to do in the draft. next here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks back with you live. Where can you walk magnificent greens with a Manhattan skyline as the backdrop, lining up your next putt, or on a tee box? Only at Skyway Golf Course. It's just absolutely beautiful out there. Lincoln Park West, nearby Jersey City. It's the finest public golf experience in Hudson County, an amazing nine-hole layout. Lined with flowering grasses, magnificent dunes, rolling fairways, and their greens are fast and nice. Don't just take my word for it. Check them out online, skywaygolfcourse.com. See all that this wonderful course has to offer. Instructions, events, tournaments, outings, juniors, welcome, senior discounts. Sure to make your must playlist of the urban metro area, that's for sure. And also just a reminder, whether you have a Droid or an iPhone, download the Kemper Sports app. They've got a great thing going. It's called Tour of the Turnpike, where you play more courses and you earn more rewards on the app. And it's not just Skyway. It's Rock Spring. It's Heron Glen. It's Ashbrook. It's Galloping Hill. It's Shady Rest. So make sure you check it out. Again, Kemper Sports, download it on your app, play more courses, earn more rewards. Again, make sure you check out Skyway Golf Course. Check them out online as well, skywaygolfcourse.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Rich Cimini. He's got a great podcast out called Flight Deck. Hopefully you subscribe. He's joining us now here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Rich. Thanks for making time for us. How you doing?
Good morning, Anita. Thanks for having me. Going through like a little day after draft withdrawal right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, I was saying, like, you know, the work isn't done yet. You know, as soon as the draft is over, it's fast and furious. Teams on the phone talking to agents and trying to make deals with players who went undrafted. So, you know, I'm sure you'll have that information out as soon as possible as well, once that dust settles. So let's talk about the first round and what happened here. The Jets trading with the Minnesota Vikings, who I think freaked out because Penix Jr. went at 8. I think they were thinking that Penix would fall to them at 12. And of course, that did not happen. Can you share with us, you know, what and how that trade materialized?
Well, I think the Jets, I think the Denver Broncos get an assist on that trade because I think they had put up a big smokescreen and duped the Vikings into thinking that the you know, the Broncos were going to move up to 10 to draft McCarthy. So the Vikings, not wanting to take any chances, just switched places with the Jets and moved up one spot. It cost the Vikings a couple of draft picks. I think it was a 4 and a 5. So basically the Jets picked the same guy that they were going to take at 10, and they moved down one spot and get their guy, Fashanu, and get the extra 2 draft picks. So it was a good move by the Jets. The Broncos definitely helped with Sean Payton, you know, pulling off the smokescreen there. And, of course, the Broncos ended up taking the guy they wanted all along at Bo Nix. So it worked out for everyone. And the Vikings, look, if J.J. McCarthy turns into a really good quarterback, no one's going to remember that they gave up 2 draft picks to move up one spot.
So talk about Fashanu. I've been fielding quite a few Jets fans' calls, disappointed that they didn't get a skilled position player like a wide receiver or a tight end. I like this pick a lot. I think it's important considering that, you know, Rodgers is another year around the sun and coming off of injury. I think this is the wise pick to make, but fill us in on Fashanu and what Jets fans can expect from him this season.
Right. I think it was the right pick. It wasn't the sexy pick, you know, but it was the right pick for the football reasons. I mean, Brock Bowers would have been the sexy pick. There really were no wide receivers there that they could have taken. Now, the Jets did love Rome Odunze. You know, they were trying to get him. They were trying to move up to get him. And then when he went to Chicago at 9, the Jets just shifted their focus to Fashanu, who, you know, is not a day one starter. I mean, Tyron Smith is going to be the day one starter at left tackle. Obviously, he's an 8-time Pro Bowler. He's a likely Hall of Famer someday. So if Fashanu's going to come in as the backup, and I know fans are like, well, you know, why draft a guy at 10 if he's going to be the backup? Well, my response to that would be, have you watched the Jets offensive line the last few years? I mean, I think they went through 13 different combinations last year, just the constant musical chairs with injuries. And they have an older guy in Tyron Smith. He's 33. You know, he's had a long injury history. They have a right tackle, Morgan Moses, 33, coming off a pec surgery. Only 1 year on his contract left. So this is, and I think Fashanu will play at some point this year. It's just not going to be opening day, barring injury. But he'll be their left tackle for the next few years, and they hope for longer than that. So Bowers, to me, would have been a luxury pick. I don't think you get good positional value when you take a tight end in the first round. History shows that. You just don't. Very, very few tight ends sign second contracts with the team that drafts them. So I think the Jets liked Brock Bowers a lot. Maybe if they had traded down to the 15 or 16 range, he would have been a consideration. But at 10, Fashanu was their guy. Or 11, as it turned out.
Right, right. So then in the third round, did not get a draft pick until the third round. And then they go Corley, wide receiver from Western Kentucky. And there's so many offensive weapons now. Obviously, Joe D and this team being very active and attractive in free agency. How's Corley going to fit into this mix?
He actually is the player out of the 7 picks who will probably have the most immediate impact because of the position. Yeah, because of the position he plays, they traded up. The Jets had a very high grade on him. They were trying to get him starting in like the middle of the second round, finally got him at the top of the third round. They had to trade up with Carolina. He is he's a receiver who's not a great route runner right now. He definitely needs to polish that aspect of his game, but he's a terror with the ball in his hands. So if at Western Kentucky, half of his receptions came behind the line of scrimmage. So you get the ball to him on a bubble screen or some sort of short pass, he's going to make yards after the catch. His yak numbers in college were off the charts. So I think the Jets will utilize him in that fashion. The Jets wide receivers last year were not very good with yards after the catch. I think they had the second fewest amount of yards after the catch. They're going to have to integrate the screen pass into their offense. They did not run many screen wide receiver screens last year. I think it was only 22 or 23. So Nathaniel Hackett's going to have to adjust a little bit and find ways to get this guy the ball because that's what he does. He's strong, he's instinctive, and when he gets the ball in his hands, he breaks tackles.
And then I've been receiving quite a few calls on Jordan Travis, quarterback from Florida State, who the Jets selected in the 5th round. You know, surprise there? Did you anticipate the Jets walking away with a quarterback in this draft, Rich?
Absolutely. This was expected. I don't think anyone was surprised that the Jets took a quarterback in the 5th round. The only little surprise, maybe, I thought maybe Michael Pratt from Tulane might have been the choice over Jordan Travis, but the Jets really like Travis's outstanding ability to move. Obviously a really good athlete. He can make plays, you know, outside the pocket when the play breaks down. The obvious concern with him is his leg injury. I mean, he had a gruesome ankle fracture against North Alabama in November that not only ended his storybook season, but essentially got Florida State excluded from the college football playoffs. And he's not ready yet. So Joe Douglas, we asked him about this injury last night. He was very evasive on it. He said, we expect him to be okay at some point this year. So will he be ready for the first day of training camp? I think that's a big question. They just see him as a developmental player. He'll be the third guy. I mean, what better room to walk into? I mean, between Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor, you're talking about 34 years of NFL experience that he can learn from. So this is very much a future developmental type pick for the Jets.
And then Isaiah Davis, running back from South Dakota State, going in the fifth round. Stiggers, cornerback as well. And then Mr. Irrelevant. is it Key? Jalen Key, safety.
Jalen Key. Yeah.
Jalen Key, safety out of Alabama. Not sure. Are you gonna be covering the Mr. Irrelevant parade?
I submitted a request to go to Newport Beach, California. So it's an interesting pick. I mean, he had a great attitude about it. He said he's going to lean into this whole Mr. Irrelevant thing, and he says we're going to make some noise, and you know he had fun with it, and it's good. He had a good attitude. Obviously he started for Alabama, so you know he's a smart player right away. He's a physical player. Did not make a lot of plays on the ball. Only one interception last year in 12 starts. So that's not a good number. So they'll try him at free safety. You know, obviously he'll have a key role on special teams. So who knows? You know, the Mr. Relevant, you never know what it might turn out to be. You mentioned Isaiah Davis, the running back in the fifth round. That's the one pick that really puzzled me. After drafting a running back in the fourth round, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, who was a highly productive runner there, I just thought it was overkill going for Isaiah Davis. You know, they have Izzy Abanaconda from last year. Of course, we know who the number one running back is. It's Breece Hall. So they have three young running backs behind Breece Hall. I think Allen will contribute this year because he's a bigger type back. He gives them something a little bit different. So, but I'm not sure how Davis is going to see the field. So that pick puzzled me a little bit.
All in all, how would you grade, or how have analysts graded this Jets draft?
Well, Mel Kiper gave it a B.
Okay.
I probably would. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird, Anita, this was a weird draft because, you know, the first, when you're coming off a 7-10 year and you have the 10th pick, you know, which becomes the 11th pick, you know, usually you get a plug and play guy, you know, who jumps right into your lineup and this is our guy at X position. That's not the case with the Jets because Olufoshanu may not play this year. If Tyron Smith stays healthy, Olufoshanu may not play a lot, if at all. So weird kind of draft, you know, for the Jets. I think after going like, you know, win now with all their free agent moves, I think they kind of downshifted here into picking guys that will help them more in the future. You know, they definitely helped their depth on offense, which, of course, stunk last year pretty much at every position. So they have better depth. I think that, you know, will help them a lot. But, the last few picks were project-type guys like a Jordan Travis and a Quantez Stiggers, who is an amazing story. I mean, a CFL player who didn't play a down of college football and had a really inspirational background story comes in, and so he's a project player as well. So it's a weird draft for the Jets. So as I said earlier, I think Corley will be the one guy you'll see on the field early in the season just because of what he can do, and they have an opening at wide receiver, so he could play early. But so it's hard to put a grade on it, but they have some interesting prospects.
Before we let you go, Rich, give us an update in regard to Aaron Rodgers and his healing process. What are the expectations? Is he going to attend every OTA? What can Jets fans expect from him in this offseason?
Right. So he attended the first week. I think he said he sounded a little uncertain about the coming week. So we'll see. He was, of course, on Pat McAfee during the draft, giving his commentary on the first pick on Fashanu. So I think he'll end up being at most of the voluntary stuff and, of course, the mandatory stuff. He's moving around pretty well. He's doing stuff in the weight room, squats. You know, he is, what, 7 or 8 months removed from the Achilles now. The Jets expect him to be ready to go for training camp. at this point now, you know, he's essentially healed. It's just building, you know, rebuilding the strength he had in his lower left leg and getting comfortable to moving around and doing football type things. But he was practicing toward the end of the year, the last week of the year, he was almost full go in practice. So it's just a matter of, but they have Tyrod Taylor to come in and take a lot of the reps in the OTAs and minicamp if need be. But all signs point to a very positive situation with Rodgers right now.
Fantastic. Rich, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Sunday morning to recap everything. Really do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Anita. You got it.
Rich Samini, again, make sure you you ingest his podcast, Flight Deck. However, you might get your podcast. 800-919-3776. Anthony and Dave, you guys will be first up. Coming your way at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, Mike Gideon is going to join us, scout and helps at least anywhere between 13 to 15 NFL teams each and every year. We'll get his thoughts on the Jets and the Giants and just big picture. Who did the best? A lot of people love Washington's. A lot of people feel that the Eagles got very fortunate like they do each and every year. So there's that. We'll kick off hour number three coming your way at 11 o'clock and do an even deeper dive into this Knicks matchup against the 76ers. Again, you'll be able to listen to that game right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita with you on this Sunday fun day. We inch closer to the Knicks pregame show and Knicks game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, welcome in.
And Anita, first of all, happy early birthday.
Thank you. Big fan
of yours. And I'm going to tell you, they got a bang in Embiid today. Not dirty, just bang, bang, bang. And I'm and let's go Rangers. And I'll hang up, listen to the rest.
Again, here's what the problem is. I think the officiating in this game is going to be really, really tight. Tighter than normal. So you just want to be really, really careful. And here's another thing. If Mitch Robinson is not playing, which is anticipated that he is not going to play, the last thing you want to do is get Hartenstein in foul trouble. So as aggressive and as physical as you want to be, I think this is Knicks team that has to be very careful. Thank you. You have to be very careful heading into this matchup. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in his car. Dave, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me on, Anita. You know, I'm probably going to take some flack for this, but I'm just going to kind of spell it out for the Giants. I'm looking at Daniel Jones, and they're like, oh, we're going to give Daniel Jones weapons. I look at Luck, who played for the Colts, a guy who took a pounding and still put up beyond numbers. Left for a year, came back after injury, played at a high level, got his team into the playoffs. I don't see that with Daniel Jones with the injuries. I don't see that with Daniel Jones going through all the multiple coaches and going through, you know, the turnovers. And so what difference does it make if you have weapons around someone who doesn't have the capability to click a gear and go to the next level? He's getting paid a ton of money. I'm happy for him. But how much rope are we going to give the Giants coaching staff to hang themselves? Because let's look at it, right? Year one, they overachieved. Year two, it was a debacle, not just on the field, in the locker room. So now you have Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, if he flops this year and the backup has to come in, how much more time are you going to give the Giants staff? Why didn't they consider going after a quarterback? If you go after a quarterback, you at least reset the clock. But at the end of the day, if Daniel Jones doesn't pull through this season with any type of success or gets, God forbid, gets hurt again, where are the Giants? And I think you got to take a good look at Shane and look at his coaching staff and say, hey, guys, we just got knocked back another couple of years. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, and Dave, thanks for the phone call and an appropriate time to call because we have Mike Giddens, who's going to be joining us at the top, the 11 o'clock hour. And this is really a great guy to have this conversation with because reports were that the Giants were interested in Drake May. But also, as we got closer to the draft, I was being told that the Patriots were really in love with Drake May and that it would take the world for a team to trade up to 3 to get him. And there's so many needs for this Giants team. I don't think that they were willing to do that. But when we get back, we'll do a deeper dive. Giants, Jets, all things draft when we kick off hour number 3 right here on 98.7 ESPN.